Welcome to the Are You Menstrual podcast, where we dive deep into all things women's health to support you on your healing journey. I'm Amanda Montalbo, functional and integrative dietitian, also known as the Hormone Healing RD. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to keep learning, check out the podcast Patreon, where I share a bonus episode with additional downloadable resources each week. You can go to patreon.com/hormonehealingRD or check out the link in the show notes. Okay, so we've had our episode on Amaya's birth story. Now I want to talk about tips for thriving postpartum. Now that I've been through two postpartum seasons, but I feel like you're postpartum forever, right? Even when I got pregnant with Amaya, I was still postpartum with Eliana, even though I'd had her 13 months before that. I just want to go through a few areas that are helpful. I'll start with talking about my postpartum experience and getting into the differences between the two. I think it's important to recognize that your birth is in your pregnancy are going to impact your postpartum experience, and it's okay to have your own experience. I think we compare so much as moms because we're always trying to be better and say, how can I be a better mom and better wife and improve? At least the majority of women I talk to, that mindset, improving themselves, their health, all these things, which is awesome, but it leads us into comparison a lot, and that just makes you miserable. So I'm going to share two postpartum experiences. Eliana's was very difficult, but not the most difficult. Even going through it, I still enjoyed postpartum, especially the initial time. Even though it was very stressful, it was still so special. She was my first baby. Like, I still enjoyed that time, and we had so many moments of happiness. There was just definitely, you're in fight or flight for a lot of that when you struggle with breastfeeding and stuff, or any complication. I just think of traumatic birth experiences. Anyone that's had a C-section, that is a major surgery. So just keep in mind that while these are my experiences, I did a home birth for both of my babies. Eliana's was very painful and a little bit longer, but it wasn't impossible, and it really wasn't that bad in the grand scheme of things. And Amaya's was easy. Just keep that in mind, because that will affect. People have been like, oh my gosh, how are you already back to work? How are you doing this stuff? I'm like, it was easier this time. And so it makes it so I didn't take as long to recover. I'm also like, I'm not a first time mom this time, which changes everything. And just don't compare yourself to me or anyone for that matter ever, but especially for pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. It's just completely unnecessary. We learn from our own experiences, and it's so important to cherish those even when they're really hard so that we can become better from them. And then there are a lot of things that happen postpartum that are out of our control. So if you've had those happen, sometimes we have to mourn that and it sucks. Like, my husband deployed really early the first time, and that was really sad when he was gone for a lot of Eliana's early life. But that's okay. It feels like it's not, but it's okay. And that was our experience, and that's all right. If other people don't have it, it still doesn't make our experience less special. And all those things just help you be better and grow and thrive within your family. So that's just a little preface. I feel like I like to be very gentle with my mom content, because moms are so hard on themselves. They're constantly comparing themselves to other people, and they just have big hearts. I just want to help you guys. I don't want to make anyone feel bad. My initial postpartum experience with the two girls, very different, but I did very similar things. I felt so much more able to do stuff with Amaya postpartum because it was a much easier birth and pregnancy. Those are just so important to keep in mind. With Eliana, I had so many nursing issues initially. It was incredibly stressful. We could barely get her awake some days. It was awful. Oral restrictions and everything. My husband deployed when she was like 10 weeks old. Like, right now he'd be gone. So it was just a lot. He did have 6 weeks of parental leave then, which was way more than literally anyone that I know for the husband. And then this time he has 12 weeks. Thank you to the Air Force. And while I'm very grateful for the 12 weeks, like, so many people like, oh my gosh, I wish I could have that. I'm like, he's literally gone 6 months a year though. So does it balance out? I don't know. I'm telling myself it does though. Just remember, again, like, that really shifted my two experiences, right? Having 12 weeks of support versus 6 is a big difference. And even with 6, I was like, this is great. Especially most women that I talk to, like, they're husband stays home for a week or two and it's they have to use their vacation days, not leave, or they don't take pay. And I'm like, that is awful. So I think that's important to acknowledge that it's like, that's going to affect your postpartum experience. And just what was your pregnancy like? Did you have a lot of stress during those times? My husband was deployed for a long time during both pregnancies. So that was the same. But like my first pregnancy, I had this huge immune reaction and developed eczema, had all these like gut issues that I was not anticipating. And this time I didn't have any of that. I also gained a lot less weight. So like physically, it was a lot easier. I stayed super active. I had a toddler, so that there's no option to not be active. So that definitely helped. But very different like pregnancies, and then they've led to very different postpartums as well, and birth experiences, all those things. So all those are going to play into your postpartum experience. So whenever I'm sharing things, just keep it in context to yourself. Just like when I talk about nutrition, hormone health, minerals, I may say something, but it may not even be applicable because of your circumstances, health history, whatever it might be. But I do think the one thing that I have a lot of people ask me is, are there supplements that you recommend for postpartum? And your supplements shouldn't really change from pregnancy. Ideally, you are nourishing yourself before you get pregnant. You know how to fuel your body, you're eating well, you're hydrating, and you understand if your body needs supplemental support. And then you get pregnant, and I like to have people do hair mineral testing so that they can build their own prenatal, because prenatals do not meet your needs. They don't meet your needs. They meet some of your needs. They don't meet 100% of them. And then we take this prenatal and we think, oh, I don't really have to worry about anything else. A lot of people don't even take any other supplements. And I'm like, there's not everything that you need in your prenatal. You ideally, we're focusing on getting most of it from food. Even like the supplements and stuff like that you're taking based on your hair tests, you're never going to get everything from supplements. So I think understanding how to fuel yourself before pregnancy as well as you can during pregnancy, taking nutrients that you need based on lab work that you've had done is ideal. I know not everyone can do that. I have a blog post. Actually, let me link to it. Let me just write a note. Prenatal blog. So I'll link to that. And then that kind of goes through like some tips if you haven't done any testing of things that can be helpful. But ideally, you can do hair testing. I have my Master Minerals course. A lot of women that want to conceive or are pregnant go through it so they know what they actually need. It's also nice to know like what your status is, your nutritional and like stress status is going in. But I think that building these like sustainable habits during pregnancy, ideally before, and that's what's going to set you up for a really positive postpartum. And that matters way more than like shifting your supplements and stuff like that. Like you should basically be continuing on with everything you're doing. Because once you're postpartum, your nutrient needs are even higher. For example, iodine. I think that using a low dose iodine supplementation during pregnancy is really helpful if someone has the foundations in place and they're not incredibly stressed. I used it during both my pregnancies. I'm obviously nursing. I say obviously. I feel like, I don't know how that's obvious, but maybe because I'm always covered in breast milk. You guys can't see it though, but I still take it. The whole time I'm pregnant and nursing, I take a low dose of iodine. I talked about that a lot in my previous pregnancy podcast I've done, but I think that can be really helpful in seeing your hair tests and knowing, okay, what are my other mineral levels? How stressed am I? Comparing it to your day-to-day, your nutrition, all those things. You can set yourself up to then utilize iodine. I talk about cofactors and how to take it in the course. And like that, you wouldn't change that postpartum either while you're breastfeeding. And honestly, I took everything the whole time postpartum because I was still nursing and your needs are still really high. And it's just a big change. It's stressful. Your nutrient needs are going to be higher. But I don't think we necessarily need to focus on what supplement should I take postpartum, but more of what habits do I have in place that are going to support me postpartum. Eating enough food and having a good routine around that is huge. Because then you'll know that, yes, things will shift postpartum, but your body's going to want that and you're already going to have somewhat of a routine. And then you'll basically just be adjusting that based on having either your first baby or having another baby. I feel like it's easier after that first time because you already have somewhat of a routine with kids. But having that in place, are you eating regularly? If not, I wouldn't really worry about supplements, to be honest. Are you hydrating properly? Again, during pregnancy, we need more potassium, we need more sodium. So ideally, you've already been incorporating adrenal cocktails, and I have a million posts on those. I'll put that blog in there as well. I like the high potassium version. I have a pregnancy adrenal cocktail recipe on Instagram that I'll link to. But basically, ideally, you're already hydrating in a really positive way during pregnancy. You would just continue that postpartum. And if anything, you probably need more if you're nursing. We need to eat just as much food, if not more. I had way more of an appetite postpartum. I still ate a lot during pregnancy, but I was like, in those early days, you were like hungry. That was like, I already had that habit in place. And then I just continued it, adjusted based on my needs. And then with hydrating, I follow my thirst, but I always incorporate sodium and potassium, like adrenal cocktails throughout my day. I do pickleball by Jigsaw, that powder, because it's just easy. It works for me. Eliana loves it. So she'll like stay extremely hydrated with me. And I just put sea salt or Soleil water in it because there's not a lot of sodium in it. It's just potassium. And then I usually put trace mineral drops. So I'll do like, I have, if you're watching online or on YouTube, you can see my giant water bottle here. I think it's 36 ounces-ish. Yeah, 32 ounces. So I fill this up, 32 ounces. I have a 40 ounce one too. I like interchange them, fill it up. It's glass so I can put salt in it. And we're just using one scoop of pickleball because I like it more diluted and I'll drink this throughout the day. But I have two of these a day. I did two during pregnancy, sometimes three. And I typically do two now. And then any other water I drink, I will often add the trace minerals drops that by concentrates to it, just even a few, because I'm like, I need to make sure I'm absorbing enough. Because when you're nursing all the time, and it's hot, it's warm out where I am, so I am sweating a lot, like I need to make sure I'm hydrated. And I can tell like when I need more. So having those things in place now so that you're not trying to build these new habits postpartum, it just takes the work out of it, because it takes so much more energy, like mentally and physically, to create these new habits when you have a new child that you're trying to take care of, especially if it's your first. So put sustainable habits in place during pregnancy that you can maintain after. The other big one is circadian rhythm and having good light exposure. I think this is so important because like postpartum, things get weird, right? Sleep is weird. You're especially, even if you're not nursing, you're still constantly up feeding your baby. And so that can make you feel more wired and tired and make it difficult to sleep if you don't have healthy light exposure. With Eliana, I was not as strict with myself about my phone and my phone use at night. And I would like listen to podcasts, do all this stuff. Like I'd be like basically awake like with her. Whereas now I keep it very calm and there's no phone use for the most part. Sometimes I do if it's like earlier in the night and Amaya wants to eat, but we're asleep and I feel more awake, but it just depends. Or if I'm like, I feel like working right now, then I'll let myself do it. But I won't like, if I'm like wired but tired, I'm like, no phones. I have to be strict about that so that I can crush that right there. And the next night I can rebalance out. But basically get light in the morning. Within my circadian rhythm episode, which I'll link, that I did with Carrie Bennett, it's such a good one and it gives you all the tips. And I think people can really complicate circadian rhythm, like overcomplicate it. It's literally just getting outside, blocking blue light when you first get up and going outside and getting that initial light in your eyes as natural light. So when I wake up, the house is just all dark. So I don't put blue blockers on or anything in the morning. Usually it's like just starting to get light out. It's interesting. Amaya wakes up and wants to eat at sunrise every day. And I'm like, cool. So I get up, we go outside, get some light in our eyes, and then come back inside and I nurse her. So we always get a few minutes, but it wasn't always like that. And sometimes we have a rough night and I'll sleep till 7. And right now I'd miss sunrise if I did that. And I just go outside first thing and just make sure that's the light that I get in my eyes and I don't stress about it. So that is like extremely helpful for you. It's also helpful for setting up your baby for having a healthy circadian rhythm. And she wakes up to eat, but she's like asleep. She just wants to nurse and then she'll go back to sleep. She's not like up at night. She's sleeping through the night. She's just waking to nurse, like sleep nurse, and then go back to sleep. So I'm not like, I literally wake up to feed her. She's basically asleep. Once she eats, burps, we work on all the being upright. She's got reflux right now, so we're doing all the things. But it's like I'm maybe up for 30 minutes and she's pretty much asleep that whole time and goes right back to bed. Eliana was not like that, but I didn't have as solid of habits with her and I really wish I did. So that's why I'm sharing. I think this has really helped us thrive postpartum and being really like big on that first morning light, because I'd always go for a walk with Eliana, but it was always after sunrise and usually it wasn't, I would be at the end of the UVA time. So get outside. Don't put your contacts in. Take your glasses off. I just take mine off outside. I'm with her. She's on my chest. We're getting light. She's getting it too. And I do the same thing when Eliana wakes up. We first go outside for a few minutes and come back inside because that's just our habit. That's the routine that we've built. I have had a lot of moms say, I don't want it. My kids would never come back inside. And I do get that. And I think at first it was harder, but I don't know. I just always, we spend a lot of time outside. So if I'm like, let's go back inside, she doesn't really get upset because she knows that we're going to be back out there soon. If you can't go outside or you're nervous and it's stressful for you thinking about that, like in the initial days postpartum, I would be like on the couch a lot and it's right next to the window. So I just open the window and would get light through that way. And that's totally doable as well. We're like always eating breakfast for the UVA time. So you have sunrise and then the next really cool, the good one to get is UVA rise. And that is like when the sun is at a certain like degree and it's extremely powerful for like supporting thyroid health. That's when our body's making thyroid hormone, and just getting this light exposure throughout the day helps to sync up your body clock, which controls all the systems of your body and makes them run properly at the right times. So that's why supporting circadian rhythm is so healthy. It's helpful for your hormones postpartum, including like making melatonin at night to fall asleep. And most of the time I hear from moms, they're like wired and tired at night because their sleep's all disrupted. They have crazy light exposure. So that's another thing where I'm like, invest in a good pair of blue blocking glasses. They don't even need to be like really good. I linked to all this stuff in the other podcast episode, so I'm not going to link to it all here, but I'm going to link the circadian rhythm episode. You can get everything. Carrie has like a million recommendations. She has a frequently asked question guide, but it doesn't have to be that complicated. Just get a pair of blue blockers. When it gets dark at night, put your blue blockers on. If it's dark in the morning when you get up, like a lot of times I get up before Amaya wants to nurse and I put my blue blockers on if I'm going to be using my computer, because I typically work in the morning before they both wake up. So sometimes I don't and I just wake up with her at sunrise. But if I do wake up early, then I will block that blue light in the morning. So if like when I was first waking up with her a lot at night and I actually had to get up and stuff, I would put my blue blocking glasses on because we usually have a little light in the kitchen so we don't like bump into everything. And then I'd go in the living room and nurse her on the couch. I just kept my blue blockers on because there's always like those little lights, like a little light from, we have like the TV and like a thing on the counter. Like they just have these little tiny lights and it just stimulated me too much that I'm like, this is weird, but it's dark, but I'm going to store my blue blockers, and it would make it so I could immediately go back to sleep. So build sustainable habits around food, hydration, around your light exposure, and be diligent with the basics. And I'm telling you, like I've had a lot of people ask, like, I lost weight very quickly postpartum this time. Last time I like gained a little bit of weight, which I'm going to do an episode on for my Patreon, a bonus one, because there's a lot that goes into that. But and I felt really good. I'm dealing with this really big stressor of reflux. We've had some stuff happen with Eliana that I'm not going to talk about. And we have had stressors, but I feel good and I've been able to be resilient and take them on and also like work and find a rhythm with the two girls now. And I really attribute it to the foundations. And I know that is not sexy and it can be really boring. And sometimes we don't want it to be that simple, but to thrive postpartum, in my opinion, I think it needs to be. So that's like my major tip. Number one, build sustainable habits now or during pregnancy or whenever, and then continue them postpartum. And anything fancy, it's got to go unless you have time and bandwidth for it. But don't feel like you have to do all the things. All you got to do is feed yourself, hydrate, get sunlight. And then you're basically doing the same thing with your baby. So that's like my best advice and what I think really helps people thrive. And I think most people are missing the circadian rhythm piece. And then they like get extremely like anxious. They don't sleep well. They burn through all their minerals. And that's how I would help avoid that. The other big thing is like having help and support. This is going to look different for everyone and you need it in different areas. So for example, like I think it's really important to have a breastfeeding resource if you plan on breastfeeding postpartum. Have something that you know, either maybe you take a course beforehand, like I'm going to link to two breastfeeding accounts that I trust. Healthy Mama, Healthy Baby is a course that I went through with Eliana and I love it. I endorse it. Teresa's amazing and she's a really good teacher. The other one I'm about to go through, she's like building her course now and I'm hopefully going to go through it, is For the Love of Breastfeeding. So I'm going to link to both of those Instagrams so you guys can check them out. I really like The Love of Breastfeeding, her content, because she's like an IBCLC previous nurse. I forget what kind, but so is Teresa. So they're both previous nurses, great credentials, extremely knowledgeable. They've both gone through it like on their own breastfeeding journeys, but they're like trained in this area. So that I think that's really helpful. Teresa has so many helpful things on like food allergies and things like that. The Love of Breastfeeding, she's got a lot with like body awareness. She's also CFT, so like cranial sacral fascial therapist. So she's very aware of all those things. And she talks a lot about oral restrictions. Her baby had reflux. That's how I found her. She was recommended to me. And she's just like very aware of fascia. And she wants to empower moms to do their own body work on their babies, because it's like, you have to know how to do it. It just doesn't matter. Like Amaya's birth was so easy and she still was tight when she came out, and I had to do every day. We do body work now. She's got reflux, but it's like constant. They need it. Every baby needs it. Doesn't matter how easy, hard your birth was. Doesn't matter if they don't have like issues nursing, like every baby needs to be touched and cared for in a specific way. And if you're struggling, if your baby's colicky, if you have a crazy witching hour, if they have reflux, if you're having trouble having them latch, if you haven't been able to breastfeed, it's learn how to move your baby's body in a way that's going to make them feel good. Cause it's not all just like massage and stuff. There's like stretches, there's movement techniques, posture, how to hold them when you're nursing, all those things that can be really helpful. So those are two accounts that I love and trust. So you could find some support like that. You could find an IBCLC near you, but understand how they practice, who they are and what they know. Don't just find an IBCLC. You need to know what knowledge do they have? What resources will they be able to point you to if something comes up? And so like breastfeeding is huge. Have those resources. Cause like I had some with Eliana, but then it didn't end up like working out as much. And then I wish I had others. So with Amaya, I had way more experience this time. I didn't need the resources, but I'm certified in CFT now because of everything I went through with Eliana. I do the Bowspring classes. I know a lot about fascia. So I had that knowledge going in this time that every mom should have at least some of this. You don't need to go through all those programs. There's basic knowledge that you can have. And that's what The Love of Breastfeeding is like trying to empower moms with. So you can learn so much online as well. If you need someone in person, definitely do that ahead of time. The other ways you can get support and think about is like food. How are you going to fuel yourself? I like prep some food ahead of time, but not like a crazy amount, mostly proteins because of casseroles and stuff. Last time I made so many of those and I really want to eat. My husband really likes to cook. So we initially had a bunch of leftover food. My mom brought some food and then he was making some of our meals. So it was a nice mix, but I could tell he was stressed because he was basically completely care of Eliana the first couple weeks. Cause I tried to help as much as I can, but I got to feed this baby. I can't always put her down at night if Amaya needs to eat. Amaya loves my husband, but doesn't love being held by him for a long time. She likes to look at him. So that's been interesting. Whereas with Eliana, he could just take her. It's not like that with Amaya, and every baby's going to be different. So I can't really leave her ever. She doesn't do great. So maybe one day, but that was really hard. And I could recognize that. And I was like, I'm going to find a food, like a meal service. And so I found one that was local to us that we could just go pick up the meals. So you could find one online. I used to work for a meal service, so I was pretty picky, but I knew what to look for. I like fresh meals. I didn't want the frozen ones. I found a place that did that near me. And then you can look online and find what's going to work for you. But I think that is something to consider. Can you afford it? If people ask you what you need, a lot of times we don't know. And it's okay to be like, I want to order these meals, but maybe this is a lot of money for us right now. Maybe we could have some people chip in and make this possible because this would be like really great for us. Learning how to say what you need and not be afraid to say it. So that's a really big thing. Like you have, when people are going to offer their help, and listen, if someone's offering it up, I'm like, I'm going to take it. So I hope you meant it. Like people, especially because we're a military family. So none of our family is near us. My mom's like a 2.5 hour drive, but she offered her food and I was like, yes, here's the food that I want. Because it's just like some, my mom's a great cook, but I just was like, there's certain things that I want to eat that I know are going to make me feel good. I'm like, I don't want lasagna. I love your lasagna, but I'm like, can you make pulled pork? Can you make like a bunch of that we can just pair with easy carbs and have those on hand? Cause it's, I wanted to feel good and I knew the kind of foods that are making me feel that way. Last time I didn't ask for specific things and I wish that I did. So ask for what you need, learn how to accept help and support and just be specific. And people usually love it. They're like, oh, because they want to help you. They want to give you something that's going to be helpful. And so like when you can give them something specific, I think it's just easier for everyone involved. So I think getting breastfeeding help, getting some help or some plan around food, what's that going to look like for you? A lot of people will do like meal trains and stuff. Like figure out what's going to work for you and be specific with what you actually want so that you are happy and feel good. The other area is, does your partner have time off? If not, is there anyone else that can help you, check in on you? Because sometimes it's just a phone call. Like my mom offered to help so many times when my husband first deployed with Eliana. And I was like, we're good. But I would just love to talk on the phone right now to an adult. And she would come and stuff. But I was like, you don't have to come all the time. I just want to talk to someone because I'm like home alone with my newborn. So like little things like that, like what kind of support are you going to have? And sometimes we can't always have that physical support, and which can be very challenging. And if you can't, and if you're in a position, you don't have family around, you don't have anyone you can turn to, who can you talk to? Because I'm telling you, like for me, it made a really big difference. This time it's very different because my husband has 12 weeks off and he's not deploying until like probably the end of the year. So it's just a super different experience, but that's just something to consider. What kind of help are you going to have? And sometimes we don't know, what we're going to want, and that's okay. But try to at least think about it so that you have some options. And then once you're in it, you'll know, okay, this is what I need. And hopefully you've talked to someone about it previously. And even if your spouse works and stuff and they don't get a lot of time off, it's have the conversation around like what each of you needs. If your spouse is gone all day, my husband went back to work the first time. He had a really hard time being away from Eliana. And so I was like, what can we do when you get home to make this like work? And it's okay, well, can you try to have her fed so that I can take her and have some time with her? And I'm like, done. So that was helpful. We always gave each other time to work out. We just work out with our kids, but it's I'll watch him while he's working out. And then he watches them while I'm working out, those sorts of things. Like what does each of you need? And trying to think about that beforehand, if you can, and then just not being afraid to talk about it when you're like in the thick of it. So those are like the big areas that kind of came up for me and like things that I think about. But having help and support doesn't always have to look like the traditional, like having someone come and help you with your baby. Sometimes we don't have that. So just don't be afraid. Don't feel, oh, I can't do that. It's like there's other ways you can get support from people.
Thyroid health is essential for healthy hormones, digestion, energy, and more. Our thyroid is so important because it sets the metabolic pace of our body, which controls how every single system functions. Whether you think you may have some thyroid dysfunction going on based on symptoms you may have, or have a confirmed diagnosis, chances are you haven't been given the best tools to address your thyroid health. I've been there. Thyroid is a big part of my health journey and something I've been optimizing for the last decade. I'm very passionate about this topic, which is why I created a free thyroid training that walks you through how to assess thyroid health, all the labs. I do cover blood work and what the optimal ranges are. I just want to say that I think we have to look beyond blood work when it comes to assessing our thyroid health. That's why I also cover hair mineral testing, urine testing, and then basal body temperature, which is a measurement you can do at home to assess your thyroid health. I've had so many people reach out and say they can't believe that this training is free. I promise you won't be disappointed. I also cover nutrition tips for optimizing thyroid health. You can head to the link in the show notes notes or to my website, hormonehealingrd.com, to watch the training. There's just so much lacking when it comes to helpful info on thyroid health, so I'm really hoping that this training helps you and fills that gap.
And then the other big area, this is probably the most important one, mindset and expectations. So learning to adjust and be flexible with our children, it just makes things way less stressful. Like, just being realistic with your expectations. It's like you have a kid, everything changes. Then you have like two kids. Like, I have a toddler and a newborn. And my biggest thing is, if I'm starting to feel stressed, I'm like, where is it coming from? Is it because we're rushing? Am I planning to try to do too many things in a day that aren't realistic? Am I expecting to accomplish all the same things with two kids that I was with one? Where is this stress possibly coming from? Am I meeting my needs? Have I eaten enough today? Did I make my mineral drink that I know makes me feel good? Have I gotten outside? Have I been able to do something for myself or for work today that makes me feel good? Like, for me personally, accomplishing things with work and like nerding out and researching and making content, that makes me feel really good. And it's something that I enjoy. It's a good outlet for me. If I don't get to do that, I will get cranky. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to figure this out. And sometimes that's like asking for help from my husband. Like, hey, I really need to do this. Sometimes I just need a minute. I'm like, I need you to take for a minute, and I'm just going to go sit by myself. And sometimes I just go sit outside, and Eliana's out there too, but she's playing on her own. So it's like, what do you need? What is your body asking for? Because a lot of times we're just so stressed and it's all the circumstances. I can't do this. I can't do that. Like, well, what can you do? And whose help do you need to do it? Sometimes you might not even need help. It's just you changing your routine for the day, like taking stuff off your list, being more realistic. I just think it's so important. And then the other big one that I think about is, do you miss doing things that you used to do? Because I feel like there's, and I love all the parenting and mom content on Instagram. I find it incredibly enjoyable and funny. But sometimes I see so many reels about moms trying to fit all their self-care in, like while their kids are sleeping, and it's 10 p.m. at night, and they're the lady's like walking on the treadmill to get her steps, drinking her water, has a face mask on, and is like working or something. And I get it, but I'm like, we have to learn how to do stuff with our kids. People are like, how do you work out so much? I do it with my kids. And it's not easy at first. You have to adjust and you have to experiment and find what works for you. But it's like everything I do with them, I'm never alone now that we've had Amaya. But even before, I very rarely had a ton of alone time, which I'm okay with. My kids are young. It'll be different when they're older. And again, I shift my mindset. I'm like, this is not going to be forever. And one day I'm going to miss this. I'm going to be very sad when I don't have a baby constantly attached to me. I'll also be probably happy and relieved in many ways, but I'll still have those moments of missing it. So I try to just like take it all in, and she's really cute. So that helps. But it's like, what can I do with her? Like in the mornings, I could easily just be like, I can't get up and work, or I can't do anything because Amaya might wake up and like stress out about like her sleep. And is she going to need to eat? Am I going to have time to do X, Y, Z? I just do it. And I'm like, well, figure it out. Because that's basically what it is being a mom. Like, nothing is going to happen perfectly. So I feel like if you can adjust your expectations and then try to find ways to do stuff for yourself with your kids, like Eliana knows, oh, mommy, I'm like, I say, I'm going to work out. I'm going to go work out now. She goes in the garage with me. Amaya's always there too. And it's like, sometimes she needs things from me during it. But if she wants to read a book or wants me to do something with her, I will say, I will help you and do this with you after I'm done working out. I got to work out to be healthy. Now, granted, my workouts are pretty short. It's not taking longer than 30 minutes typically, but I have stuff for her to play with out there. So it's like, we had to learn that though. So don't just give things up because you think you can't do it. I would challenge yourself to be like, how can I incorporate my kids into this? And it's not like she's working out with me. Like, sometimes she will, if she's interested, cool. But a lot of times she's not, and she'll just play. And she's learned to do that. It didn't happen overnight. But it's like, we can do things for ourselves and also have our kids present and not need to do everything while they're napping. Because then it's like they stop napping and then you're like, oh my God, I have no time for anything. Or they don't take a nap that day and you're super stressed. So it's like, how can we eliminate that? At least this is what works for me, because we don't have childcare or anything. Like, it's me and my husband and he works. So it's definitely tricky, but it's gotten so much easier. And I'm like, I just wish every mom had this mindset shift. And it, the whole, like, the funny seeing the mom do all the things, you're like, wow, I can relate to that. Cause it's when they're sleeping, you do try to get a lot done, but you shouldn't be meeting all your needs in that time. It's not possible. So what can you incorporate in with your kids? Obviously, we're going to need alone time. Sometimes I'm not saying that we don't need that, but a lot of times the reality is that we're not going to get it. So what can you do for yourself? Like, I use my red light mask around Eliana. She thinks it's so funny. She loves it. I was so scared she was going to be afraid of it and I wasn't going to be able to use it around her, but she thinks it's funny. She'll do a face mask with me at night when we go to take a bath. She lets me paint her nails and she's only two, but I love to paint my nails. I just always have since I was little. I used to do both my sister's nails, my mom's nails. She thought I was going to have a salon one day. I was obsessed with it. And I'm like, I want to still be able to do this. And I don't care that she's only two. And she does it with me. It's great because I don't shy away from trying to incorporate her into stuff, thinking it's going to be super stressful. If you expect something to be stressful, it's probably going to be stressful. And when things do go awry, I like to remind myself, like, if she starts to get crazy, she has her days where it's like, now she sometimes will cry if we try to put her down for a nap. It's so easy to get frustrated and then, like, she's out of control and you're out of control and everyone's upset. But I just remind myself, like, I'm the parent. I'm regulating her. So while I may have some feelings about this and this may be frustrating for me, I need to support myself and my nervous system and get that in a good place for her. Even if I want to have a pity party and be mad about it, I can do that later. And then you end up being able to calm and support your child better. And then things calm down much quicker and you figure it out. At least that's, like, typically how it goes with us. Like, we have plenty. And my husband was gone for 4.5 months. I was super pregnant and alone with her. And it was so hard some days, but it really taught me and it helped set me up for being a mom of two, because there were no breaks and there was never any time alone. And it was like, okay, how am I going to continue to support myself and take care of myself and meet my needs while also taking care of this child that really needs me right now? So all that is to say, look at your expectations postpartum. If you can shift those and not really have any at first, and then try to make sure everything is, like, age appropriate too. Like, sometimes I'll get frustrated with Eliana and I'm like, that's not even an age appropriate expectation. That's my fault. That's something I need to adjust in my mind. So little things like that can be helpful. And a lot of this comes to, there's so many parenting accounts out there. There's amazing books, there's podcasts, there's courses. And I did a lot of that stuff initially after I had Eliana. And then it's the same thing as with the wellness space. You get information overload. You think you're never doing anything right. You're like, I'm going to mess up this kid. And then you stop listening to your intuition. And it's the same thing with wellness and your health. It's like, you get so much information, you're constantly researching. And then you don't listen to, okay, what does my body really need right now? What am I craving? What do I think is going on? You just shut down all those natural instincts. And I think as parents, we have so many and we just ignore them because we're listening to everyone else. So while I think learning and finding an approach that interests you, that you want to take with your kids and becoming knowledgeable on it is helpful. And I've done courses that have really helped me, especially when my husband's gone, continue to be regulated and make sure I'm not snapping and being really stressed and making it so I enjoy being a mom so that I'm not stressed all the time. And a lot of it, I'm like, this is common sense. And I guarantee you, if I just stop trying to be perfect, be the perfect mom, fix everything, make everything perfect for Eliana, that it would be just how it's supposed to be. So I've taken a huge step back from all that kind of content and no longer take it in because I think it was hindering my natural abilities as a mom. Not that everyone needs to do that, but take it or leave it. But if you are stressing yourself out with all that stuff, like, you might need to take a break, just like anything. Like, we tell our one-on-one clients, like, okay, you're working with us now. We are going to support you. We're going to answer all your questions and we're going to make sure you have a plan and that you're successful so you don't have to continue to constantly research and try new things, because we are going to support you in that. And it's usually a huge stress relief for them because they're like, I need to step away from Instagram and researching and all that stuff. And it takes a big burden off. So same thing with parenting information. If you're anything like me, you probably need to chill. So that's another thing, reducing that information overload when you're postpartum, whether it's health information, parenting stuff, anything like that, because we have natural instincts and we have this innate ability to be great moms. It's just, what do you have to do that? You need to take care of yourself as best you can and meet your basic needs and so that you're regulated. And I want to end this episode with a few nervous system tips, because if there is one thing that I could say people want to know for pregnancy prep and stuff, like, I think hair testing is helpful, understanding how to read your hair test, how to adjust your supplements based off of that, incredibly helpful. I think knowing how to nourish your body, hydrating, all those things are really helpful. But we can't ignore the nervous system, because everything changes after you have a baby. As your kid grows and gets older, things change even more. We have stuff happen in our lives. It's like things happen, like tragedies happen. Some people get divorced and you can't predict it all. And a lot of times you can't control it. So it's so important to have this way of understanding, like, how can I check in with myself and understand my nervous system and build that resilience? Yes, we have to be fed. If we're not fed, we're going to be in more fight or flight. Just working on nervous system doesn't work. Just working on nutrition doesn't work. So I think have the nutritional foundations in there. That's why I made my Replenish Your Minerals course. It's less than $100 and you can listen to it all on audio, like a podcast. And it has steps for you to take throughout the 6 weeks to build your foundation. And it hits on all these areas. And that is great. And then we need to learn about our nervous system. And there's one thing that I love to have that I personally like to do, and that's quick body scans, like checking in. Irene Lyon uses orienting, and she edited a podcast episode with her. It was amazing. And I love to orient regularly throughout the day. So you're basically, you're stopping and you're paying attention. You can close your eyes because you want to build your awareness, and you can immediately calm yourself down if you pay attention to things in your environment. I'll do it during my transition. So say I'm getting up and I'm going outside to see sunrise. When I'm outside at sunrise, I'm orienting. I'm like, okay, we're standing here. I see the sun. What do I hear around me? Usually I hear birds, cars, because there's a street right over there. Like, you just bring yourself into the environment and the immediate presence. And then I'm like, how does my body feel? And I love checking in with my body immediately during the day, because then that helps me like really want to prioritize caring for myself throughout. So I might feel really good. I might be like, I'm achy. My back hurts from nursing all night, whatever it might be. And then what am I going to do for myself that day? I'll like think about the day ahead. And then I stare at her a lot because she's like really funny when she wakes up. She's so smiley and like happy and cute. And so we have a lot of moments out there. And then I go back inside. So like during my transitions, I try to do it. When I just made breakfast and we're like about to eat, I'll take 30 seconds and just take in what's around me, feel my body. How do I feel in my body? Do I feel out of balance anywhere? Do I need anything? And that's like how we recommend for clients to do it, to try to use it in your transitions. You don't have to carve out 10 minutes, 20 minutes to like meditate. It's not that. It's you paying attention to how you feel so that you can understand, am I feeling good right now? Do I need anything? That's a really great place to start. And like, I remember when I first learned this practice, I went through Irene Lyon's 21-day nervous system reset. That's where I learned orienting. And then I did her full 12-week program, Smart Body, Smart Mind. It was amazing. But you can do the reset and you learn. I didn't do it in 21 days. It took me like 6 months. It's dense, but I highly recommend that for people. It's a great starting point. And then you can learn that skill of orienting. She does like other like, I forget exactly what they're called. They're like brain exercises, but she's great. She's my favorite nervous system resource. I'll link to her podcast episode, Irene episode. And then learning how to like just check in with yourself, but like really check in. That it, I used to set timers in my phone so that I'd remember to do it. This was like before I even had Eliana. I did her course in, I think it was 2020. And then I got pregnant in 2021. So I was so grateful to have these nervous system skills. And then when I was pregnant with Amaya, I did her 12-week course, which like solidified everything and was great, much more in depth. But the 21 days, perfect. You can gain so much with that. And most people don't have time for the 12-week. So learning how to check in with yourself, the orienting practice is great. The other thing that I think I usually have, we have people start with, especially if we have people that have been in fight or flight for a long time and don't feel like, we'll ask them like how they feel and they're very like disconnected from their bodies. We'll have them honor their physical needs. And Irene talks about this. I can't remember what she talked about in the episode I did with her, but I've heard her talk about it so many times. I've done all her programs, but she talks about this in a way of, it's really great to start connecting back to your body and regulating and understanding like what you need by anytime you have an urge to like do it. If you have to pee, don't hold it, go pee. And I know some people may hear that and be like, that's like weird. Why would you hold it? If you're a mom, you know why. So it's really easy if you're a seasoned mom, if you're like a new mom, you just, especially when you're adjusting with your first, I feel like you, all your needs go out the window. And sometimes it can be incredibly overwhelming. And I know I talked about like incorporating your kids into things. I think that's really important. But I think the other thing is like going, taking one step back is, are you meeting those little needs throughout the day or are you suppressing everything? And those people are usually the people that are also trying to do everything during nap time and feel like they need a ton. They're like, I need a break. I need a lot of alone time. That's when I'm like, are you listening to your body throughout the day? Because I think if you can learn to meet your needs throughout the day, like if you have to be like, I'm, even if I'm like doing something with Eliana, like I used to not think about it. I would just be like, oh, I'd shut it off. I'll pee later. Like now I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. And or like hunger, like it's so funny. I'll be like, mommy's hungry, I need to eat. Especially if she's not wanting to go inside for lunch or something. I'm like, I need to eat, we're going inside. And she's okay, mommy needs to eat. And we go in and it's really sweet. She'll ask me, mommy thirsty? Cause like if I need to make a mineral drink, I share my needs and she sees me constantly meeting my needs. I need to do a workout, mommy's gonna work out. And it's, I make it fun. She has fun. She has things to do, but it's become just a part of our days and a part of our lives. And I think if you can start, instead of ignoring those little needs that might not seem like a big deal, then and meeting them, that's how you teach your body that, hey, I'm here for you. I'm supporting you and I'm listening. And I think that can be incredibly helpful postpartum when you're like in this weird spot, especially if it's your first and you're like in fight or flight, like I'm unsure. Like when I hear moms saying, yeah, I've just been hanging on for the first 6 months, I'm like, it does not have to be that way. And granted, again, everyone's experience is going to be different. There are horrific things that come up and make it so that you probably will just be hanging on for 6 months. And I know people, we've had clients in that state. So it's obviously, this is not for everyone, but I think for most people, just learning to meet those little needs helps to connect you to your body and your intuition. And you start to open those lines of communication more. You're not just shutting everything down. And then you get these bigger needs and it encourages you to want to meet them. It's, oh, I just really need my body right now, or do get outside, get light. So like any urge that I have, I try to meet that if I can, if it's safe, realistic and something I can do at the time. But I think that's a really good way if you're like, I don't know how to check in with my body. Like we get people that are like, I don't really notice anything when I do my orienting exercise. And that's when we go back to that. Okay, honor those physical signs that your body's giving you. And that is, they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I was like actually hungry because I've been suppressing it for so long. So like eating when you're actually hungry, if tired, go to bed when you're tired, if it's appropriate. If your kids are not asleep yet, that's probably difficult. But like when you're tired, I'm like, go to sleep. Hungry, eat. If you want to move your body, how can you make it so that can happen? And it might not always be perfect, but it's like, what can you adjust? Because if you gotta, you have to let go of perfectionism, shift your expectations, and keep things very simple. You don't need to do more. You typically need to do less and simplify like wherever you can so you can build that capacity. But yeah, so those are all my postpartum tips. It's not, I think people probably wanted like a, what food should I eat? Is there, what supplements should I take? But I'm like, that's not what's going to help you thrive postpartum. I hope that all this stuff does really help people. And I just hope that everyone, like, no matter what kind of birth experience you had or early postpartum season, if it has been rough, or maybe you had one in the past that was, I hope that you can still enjoy bits and pieces of it. Cause no matter what, beautiful, and it's going to help you if you can learn from it, it's going to help you so much in the future. I think it can, sometimes we have to grieve those things. Like I grieved like the first like few weeks for Eliana, because we were so stressed out about nursing and her ties and what do we do? And oh, it was terrible. Like when you feel like your baby's not like themselves. And sometimes I do grieve that time, but I'm like, we still had a lot of really happy moments. And I'll tell you what, she is like the happiest and best kid ever. So it all worked out. And I learned so much that has completely changed my experience with Amaya. So it can be really hard, but I just think about how like with birth, it's like you have all the emotions, like you scream, you cry, you laugh. At least I did. I feel like I had every emotion ever during Amaya's birth and Eliana's. And that's like motherhood. You have all the emotions. It's really hard, but it's really easy at the same time in certain little ways. And it's just the best. I hope that no matter what kind of experience you've had up to this point, that this is helpful when you can take what works for you and leave what doesn't. But I hope anyone listens to this has an amazing postpartum experience. And the next episode, what are we doing? I think we're digging right into histamines. Histamines. Yep, we're going to have histamine series with Michelle Shapiro. So that's going to be really fun. We'll talk about like pregnancy and stuff too, because there's lots of histamine issues there. But I hope you're enjoying this season so far, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Are You Menstrual podcast. If you want to support my work, please leave a review and let me know how you like the episode. This lets me know like what you guys want more of, less of. I read every single one and I appreciate them more than you know. If you want to keep learning, you can get access to the bonus episode and additional resources on patreon.com/hormonehealingrd. I'd love to have you in there. Thanks again, and I will see you in the next episode.